The disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And these are the words of our Savior Jesus. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, open our ears and our eyes to hear and see this morning. Amen. I wonder if you've heard recently about the pastor, maybe you've read about it, the pastor who just quit sports. He quit going to sporting events. He quit watching sports on TV. He quit coaching Little League. He'd been a Little League coach, but he quit that also. He just quit everything there was about sports. And someone asked him why. And this is what he said. "Every time I attend a sporting event or every time I go golfing, they expect me to pay money. Those bleachers at sporting events are so uncomfortable. I disagree with the direction the coach is taking the team and some of the calls and the umps that the umps and the refs make. Oh, they make me so mad. Many of the people who attended those games, they're just hypocrites. They don't care about sports at all. They're just there to watch people, to see how much they drink, to see what they're wearing. Some people at those games aren't very friendly. And I didn't like the music they played, and it's way too loud. They scheduled games sometimes when I had plans for other things. But most importantly, this is why I quit sports. When I was a kid, my parents forced me to play sports. They said it would be good for me. And now that I'm old enough to make my own choices, I'm just not going to go. I think most of you realize that this really isn't a true story. So, why did I tell it? What's the point? What were you thinking when I told that story about the pastor who quit sports? Could it be that the story made you think about the excuses that people sometimes make for not going to church? Did that happen to any of you? They don't go to church because we take offerings. They don't go to church because the pews are uncomfortable. They don't go to church because some people in the church are hypocrites or unfriendly. Sometimes a story about something every day in life causes us to think about our relationship with God, or maybe our worship, or something in our spiritual lives. Well, that's what a parable is all about. It's a story taken out of our everyday lives that causes us to think about something else. And in this case, when we think about things spiritually, it causes us to think about our relationship with God. I was a little boy, maybe like you, and I was taught that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Well, there came a point in Jesus' ministry where he started to teach almost exclusively in parables, and the 12 disciples wonder why. Why did Jesus make this switch? Why didn't he just come out and tell people who he was, what he expected, and how people could be saved and experience an abundant life through a relationship with him? Why parables? Well, Jesus began to use parables for a very specific reason. And we're going to take a look at what those reasons are this morning and see why it matters in our lives today. First, Jesus taught in parables because there were some people who had become hard and calloused to his teachings. So we read that in verse 15. This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. So we look at some of the chapters leading up to chapter 13, and we find this. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus has healed a paralyzed man. Amazing. He raises a girl that has died from the dead. Even more amazing. He heals another sick woman. He gives sight to a blind man, a man who can't talk, probably because he can't hear. Jesus restores his ability to speak. And what's the response of some people? They see all of this. The Bible tells us, they said, he's a blasphemer. And he does these things because he's got the power of Satan. Talk about hard hearts. Matthew 12. Jesus heals a man. Jesus heals a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. The Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill him. So their argument was, you don't do that kind of stuff on the Sabbath. That's work. Jesus says to them, well, is it good? Is it right to do good deeds on the Sabbath? If you had a sheep and it fell into a hole, would you climb into the hole and get it out? Yeah. Well, isn't it good to heal a person on the Sabbath? Instead of saying, well, yeah. Ooh, they go out, let's kill them. Hard-hearted. And so we read in our passage of Scripture, that's why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing all these miracles, they don't see it. Though hearing my teachings, they don't hear it or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding, ever seeing but never seeing it, truly seeing it. They've got calloused hearts. So in response to these calloused hearts, Jesus begins to speak in parables. Those who are soft-hearted and seeking the truth, they're teachable, they'll get it. But those that aren't, those who are hard-hearted and not teachable, they won't get it. Jesus gives to those people, those hard-hearted, calloused people, he gives them what they want. I don't want to understand. I don't want to know the truth. I don't want to listen to you. Jesus gives them what they want. He teaches in parables. He doesn't just tell them flat out. Verse 11 tells us, Jesus says, the knowledge of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you. Disciples, people who listen, who seek, who are hungry for the truth, but not to them. Those who are hard-hearted and only find fault, only want to kill me, only want to silence me. The knowledge of the kingdom hasn't been given to them. That's what they want. That's what they'll get. Verse 12 is a troubling passage sometimes. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, in this context, what is Jesus saying here? He's talking about these hard-hearted people, and he's talking about the people who are teachable. You people who are teachable, you'll be given more. You'll be given understanding. You'll be given the ability to know the mystery of the kingdom. But to those hard-hearted people who don't want to know the truth, who've shown that they don't want to know the truth, even what they have, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had positions of power. They had positions of influence. They had positions that were recognized by people as being big shots, you know. Even what they have is going to be taken away from them. The same thing is true for ordinary people like us. If we show ourselves again and again and again to be hard-hearted to the message of Jesus Christ, to the words and the teachings of Jesus, if we turn a deaf ear, if we walk away, if we hold it at arm's length, if we say, I'm not going to follow this, Jesus will let us have that. Have what you want. But if we show ourselves to be teachable, to be seeking, to be soft-hearted, what will we receive? Knowledge of the kingdom, but more, abundant life in this world. Because when you follow the teachings of Jesus, it leads to a great life. And then eternal life in the world to come. Let me tell you a parable. Now, this one is true. When my wife and I were serving in a church in Hudsonville, Michigan, we had two dogs. One belonged to my son, and one belonged to my daughter, and both of the kids were living with us. My daughter's dog was Putz. He was a chocolate lab. My son's dog was a Springer Spaniel. Maggie, the Springer Spaniel, learned, listened, obeyed. You'd put her out in the yard, she'd stay in the yard. You'd call her to come in, she'd come. The reason we got Maggie in the first place was because my son and I liked to hunt, and so we'd go out hunting with her, and she'd always come. Putz, on the other hand, you couldn't let him out in the yard. He'd run away. Putz, you put him on a leash and take him off the leash, you great big, you know, chocolate lab. If you'd lose your grip, he'd be gone. Wouldn't come no matter how much you called. I always took Maggie hunting, but I never took Putz. Putz would have loved to go hunting. Nope, you can't, because you won't listen. Maggie listens, she can go. What you have will be taken away, but to you who have now, you will be given more in even abundance. Those hard-hearted people didn't have the will to listen. So what they had was taken from them. Solomon writes with wisdom, Proverbs chapter 1, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will destroy them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. I can see Putz and Lizzie and Maggie in that passage. And I can see some people I know in that passage. Now, let's be honest here. I'm not always a listener. I'm not always an obeyer. I'm not perfect. But I hope we have the desire to listen and obey and follow the teachings of Jesus. And once in a while, we don't, because of that sinful nature that still hangs on in us. But we have a new heart which does want to listen and follow and constantly strives to. Jesus taught in parables because there are some people that are just hard, callous to his teachings. And the point for us here this morning is we better make sure that we aren't one of those calloused people. That when we come under the instruction of God's word, whether we're reading it or hearing it on radio or television or here in church, that we don't say, back off, not for me, not this, not now. That's a calloused heart. And continue in that way, and Jesus will give us what we want. Jesus taught in parables because parables raise questions. They create curiosity, and so that's what was happening here. Jesus told the parable of the farmer and the seed and the soil and so forth. The disciples came to him and said, why? Why do you speak to the people in parables? Why this way? Why this story? What's it mean? This is repeated this question. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all come asking questions. Parables are intended to do that. They're intended to raise questions. People listen to the story and they say, well, what does this mean? How does this apply? What are you trying to say? And those who are soft-hearted and teachable will think about it. They'll seek, they'll look, they'll ask questions, and they'll get the answers. The scribes and Pharisees and some of the others didn't ask questions. There was only one thing that mattered to him. Let's kill him. Let's get him out of the way. Let's silence him. God doesn't hide the truth from anybody. God doesn't tell parables so that they can't get the truth. He used parables because some had been hard and calloused, and he gave them what they want. And he used parables because he was hoping that people would ask questions and get curious and start looking for what was behind the story. Jesus wants people to know the truth. In fact, there are many places in the Bible where he says, I'm telling you the truth here, now listen. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. I'm not going to hide it from you. Ask your questions. Seek, you will find. I'll let you find the answers. I'll let you find the truth. Knock, and it will be open to you for everyone, not just some. Everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and him who knocks the door will be opened. Jesus gives an invitation. He gives an invitation to everyone. And that invitation is found in Matthew 11. Come to me with your questions, with everything that you wonder about. You're weary, you're burdened, but come to me. I'll give you rest. I'll take away that uncertainty, that doubt, that fear. Take my yoke upon you so there is some responsibility and there is a load, but it is a yoke that fits and it helps you pull through life. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light compared to not walking with me. Asking questions, seeking the truth about God and Jesus and the Bible is good. And truth is available. In verse 11, Jesus said, the knowledge of the mystery of the kingdom of heaven has been given. That's passive. They didn't find it themselves. They sought it, but it was given to them by God. People ask questions, they seek, God gives the answers. Jesus said in John 6, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. He said to them, you don't want to leave me too, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom should we go if we left? You have the truth, the words of eternal life. John 8, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you've raised children, there comes a time in every child's life where they start asking all kinds of questions. Oh, and it's usually one word, just like it was with the disciples. Why? So, we're going to go to church this morning. Why? We're going to have liver and onions tonight. Why? Have you ever heard that question from your kids? Sometimes it gets discouraging. It gets disgusting. Sometimes we tell them, stop! Don't ask that question anymore. But asking questions is good. And God has nothing to fear when we ask questions of him. How can this be? What's going on here? What does this mean? I don't understand this. Help me out. Ask, and you will know the answer. God will give it. Might take a while, because there's all kinds of stuff going on inside of our minds and in our attitudes. It might take a while for us to accept the answer, but he will give it to us. Jesus taught in parables because all of life is a teachable moment if we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. So Jesus used everyday experiences that people already understood. So the one that we looked at last week, the farmer scattering seed, some fell on hard-packed soil, some fell on rocky soil, some fell on soil that where the weeds grew up, and some fell on good soil where it produced a big crop. Everybody knew all about that. They got that. They also knew that Jesus was a teacher, that when he told a story, there was some meaning behind it. It wasn't just for entertainment. So they began to ask questions. They listened to his story, trying to figure out what it meant. Parables like that are all around us. They're right here this morning. They're outside in our parking lot. There are things all around us that can teach us if we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. We can see the truth of God in creation. We can teach our children using illustrations out of life. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, Moses says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these commandments that I give you adults today are to be upon your hearts, but you are to impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down at night to go to sleep, and when you get up in the morning." There's stuff all around you that you can use to teach your children. Man, it's Father's Day. We don't like to sit our children down and give them a three-point sermon. That's not our nature. We're doers. We're actors. We're fixers. We're workers. But we're not, by nature, preachers. Even teachers. That's not generally who we are. We're more men of physical action, generally speaking. So, when you're washing your car and your child comes out and says, "Hey, Dad, can I wash the car with you?" It's a teachable moment. When you're at the lake and you're swimming and they're playing with you and I don't know what you're doing, there are teachable moments. When you get up in the morning and you're not looking your best, and you're getting ready for work, and your children see you, it's a teachable moment. Commitment. I've got a job. Sometimes I don't feel like going to work, son. But I've got a family to take care of. I've got bills to pay. I've got a job where my employer depends upon me, and so I've got to be there. I don't feel like it. I'd rather sleep in today. But that's what commitment is about. In your Christian life, you aren't always going to feel like reading your Bible and going to church and praying. But you've got a responsibility. And in the long run, it's good. Not always easy, but it's good. And spiritual gifts. My daughter, you're not just beautiful. You're not just my little princess. You've got gifts. God's given you gifts to use. You know, on that volleyball team that you watch or that you play on, every player has a responsibility. Not everyone serves. Not everyone stands in the front line and is the designated spiker. But everyone has a responsibility. So you've got to find your responsibility in life, what you're best at. You're not going to be like everybody else. And not only use it to make a living or serve the church, but to serve God. See, there's stuff all around us that we, fathers and mothers, can use to teach. So Jesus taught in parables because all around people, there were lessons that they could see. And he taught them how to see them. And finally, our passage of Scripture says in verse 35 that Jesus taught in parables to fulfill prophecy. And the prophecy was given in Psalm 78, verse 2. Jesus spoke these things to the crowd in parables, so was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. Jesus was always concerned about fulfilling Scripture. Jesus ended this particular parable with a short verse, verse 9. He who has ears, let him hear. So he told the parable of the farmer scattering the seed. Then he said, he who has ears, let him hear. So let's end the message that way this morning. He or she who has ears. Are you hearing? Do you hear the still small voice of Jesus and what he's trying to teach? Or are we hard and calloused? When we read the teachings of Jesus, are we asking questions? Are we seeking the answers? Do we see spiritual truths in our everyday lives, the events all around us? Or do we have to have someone spell it out for us? And are we willing to use those things all around us to teach others? Friends, I don't see them, but Jesus is here. He's alive. He's not a memory. He's not a book of teachings. He's alive. And he's speaking. Do we hear him? He who has ears, let him hear. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for wanting to speak the truth to us. And thank you for leaving us this book which contains the things you said. And that you've left us with your Spirit. You, Jesus, have ascended into heaven where you live, seated at the right hand of the Father, but you've sent your Spirit. That in itself is a mystery that we need to understand. But your Spirit speaks and teaches. May we, not only today here in this place, but when we leave today, when we go home, when we go back to work, when we go to play, to vacation, may we see your hand and your work and your teachings all around us. Amen.